What makes a face feminine? Think about it. No makeup. Is it the chin? Strong chins can look feminine. It works for Angelina Jolie and Grace Jones. Is it the eyebrows? Nope, there's Frida Kahlo. Femininity comes from a combination of several complicated factors, says one of the physicians who pioneered facial feminization surgery. That can make it tricky for people in the transgender community who are thinking about changing their face, Lauren Silverman reports.
In 2006, after Renee Baker started hormone therapy, she decided to have facial feminization surgery. Searching for a doctor back then wasn't easy.
There was probably 3 or 4 in the United States that were doing it, so not a ton of options back then.
Baker used savings from her former job as an engineer and pulled together $18,000, a flight to Boston, and a few weeks later.
Describe what your features look like.
Oh boy, you're gonna get me there, aren't you? You know, really just my cheeks are just fuller. My face is rounder. The distance between my eyebrows and my hairline is about a half inch shorter because they kind of raise up your brows and all that. So my eyes are more open and visible, and I kind of like that part.
Her bright blue eyes are the same, but everything else seems softer. She says the surgeon, Dr. Jeffrey Spiegel, took the masculine edge off her face. He's been refining his technique for more than a decade and still remembers the first transgender woman who asked for his help.
I went to the medical literature and I looked up what are the differences between men's and women's faces and what procedures exist to do this. And there was nothing. There was nothing out there.
So Spiegel improvised and the woman liked it.
I was happy that she was happy and I thought that was the end. But then she told someone, and pretty soon it became a very busy part of my practice.
This month, Spiegel's operated on people from a dozen states and 7 countries. Their pilgrimage to his Boston office is noteworthy because what they're seeking, some piece of femininity, is a bit elusive. Spiegel says what makes a face feminine and beautiful is easy to generalize, harder to pin down.
It ends up being very deep things. It ends up being the bones. You know, we hear that beauty is only skin deep, but it's not. It has to do a lot with the bones. Now, when we change the face, I need to change the bones. And then the skin is almost like clothing. If a woman puts on a man's shirt, still looks like a woman. So the skin, if it sits in the right way on the facial structures, we start to get the right cues.
Usually, there are multiple parts to a procedure. Everything from an eyebrow raise and lip lift to reshaping the chin and adjusting the Adam's apple. Spiegel bases most of his work at the hairline so he can hide the incisions he makes to lift the skin off the forehead. His tools for reshaping bone are basic: scalpels, saws, chisels, and sometimes small titanium screws to secure the bone.
I do use a laser, which sounds kind of fancy, I suppose. When we do vocal feminization to raise someone's pitch, we use a laser. But otherwise, it's variants of things you could get at Home Depot, I suppose.
What you can't get at Home Depot is a manual for sculpting a feminine nose or eye. Spiegel says you can't just focus on one feature. You have to take into account the entire face. Our brains, he says, are processing shadows and reflections, and that's what we're using to gauge femininity and attractiveness. He says women's faces have a lot of light that bounces off the eyes and the mouth.
Why is this? Well, women have larger cheekbones, which acts like a solar reflector. It bounces light into the eyes. They have small brows, which means there's no visor shading the eyes, so you get a lot more light at the eyes. And an important one is women have shorter upper lips. The upper part of the lip is longer in a man. Therefore, you get less light bouncing off your teeth.
Spiegel says more surgeons are learning the tricks used in facial feminization surgery. Still, only a handful specialize in the techniques. And it doesn't take an economist to figure out that scarcity makes this prohibitively expensive. But Renee Baker says not every transgender woman wants it. And she would know. In her professional life, she counsels people in the LGBT community.
The majority of my clients just want to have their hormones adjusted. It's about getting the hormones right and getting their gender expression to line up with who they feel like their gender identities are.
For her, facial feminization was part of a larger journey. For The Pulse, I'm Lauren Silverman.